Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hello, Jessica.
June, you've taken to bed.
Yeah, I'm deep divers. If you're hearing like a different sound quality, it is because I am in a different room. I'm quarantined. You know, I'm quarantined.
For the second time. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it.
You know, it's comical and
yet not funny at all.
I don't know what to say, you know. I don't know what people want to hear about this. Well, here's what I'll report, Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, I had COVID in February.
Yep.
And I have COVID again. So
it's like if either of us have a weak immune system, it's me. I almost died. Okay. My body could not fight off a deadly cancer. Just free as a bird so far. Free as a motherfucking bird.
It's so wonderful.
They're going to study me.
They're going to study me as well. I think we'll be studied for, you know, opposite reasons.
Wait, pause for 1 second. Demon dog has awoken. So hold on 1 second, please. From her nap early. Yep, you hear that? Hold it, pull it, please.
Get your tail wagging. Deep divers, I'm sorry we've been interrupted, but there is a puppy on cam right now.
Take a picture of this shit.
Jessica, okay. Don't move.
Get your tail wagging.
Jordan, can you do a screen grab?
She's licking the mic. Yep.
Oh, my fucking God.
Looks like a gotta get a gun. I mean, this shit is outrageous. So anyway,
Jessica.
She is a creature. She is a true creature feature. But did she bust out of her cage last night and shit everywhere? Yeah, she did. And the old dog did too. So, okay. Whew, that dog's cute though, right?
I can't believe what I just saw on the screen.
You know that we can't go. I mean, she causes a crazy scene. I got to tell you about my weekend when we're done with COVID.
Well, there's nothing else to say about COVID. Like, follow the CDC guidelines and all local, you know, county and state protocols, period. That's what I do, period. I do no more nor no less than that. And I always have. So I got COVID again. So that's me. And you know what? It's not going to bring me down, Jess.
I know it won't.
You know what I have to say to all of you? Like, I have had COVID twice. And what I'm proud of a few things about myself. I'm proud of how I lived during my 90 days of, like, immunity.
Sure.
I'm very proud of that. And I'm proud of how I will live in the next 90 once I can get out of isolation. You know, you're going to see something.
I know. And I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. You're going to see some looks. You're going to see, honestly, maybe a new hair color.
Oh, I would love that. Are you going to go like white? Are you going to go white or dark?
I might. I might get extensions.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you right now, something's going to happen this summer.
You know what I would love? And then I need to tell you about my weekend. I would love to see you. Remember when SJP got those beautiful long mermaid extensions while she was with Aiden? And how fucking hot that was.
Ooh.
That shit was down to her butt.
Okay.
And she was wearing it straight.
Okay. Oh, yes, I do remember that.
That was so hot.
So I'm going to be doing, I'm going to have some sort of.
And that was the summer. That was the summer for her. And then she cheated on him with Big. Remember in that very hot
scene? Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. So something like that, I'm going to emerge anew.
Yeah.
And here's what else I'm proud of. What I brought to this home, now two of my family members had COVID.
Yeah.
And when Sam got his COVID test, you know, we both got our positives back. It's pretty shocking always to see your positive.
Yeah.
But I held the spirit of this home together.
Exactly.
And I said, Sam, we got COVID. We're going to be in the house for at least 5 days,
Let's
maybe
have fun.
Longer. Let's do a dance. And we did a COVID dance together. And
I said,
let's run into Dada's room. Because at that point, we could see Paul. I said, let's run in there and scream like, we got COVID too, baby. And we did. And we all laughed. And I felt like I was bringing, you know, like the spirit, like when you got the Christmas spirit, like I had the COVID spirit.
You can do it either way. And you're modeling for him. Right? We get lemons, we make lemonade.
And Jess, I had a, you know, when you have, I will say, I don't know if other folks feel this way, but when you have two kids, sometimes the older can really set the weather of the home.
Totally.
You know, they can really sort of like their moods can kind of.
Oh God, I feel so, I will apologize forever to my brother.
Yes.
He didn't speak until he was like 4 and a half. And then he did. And then he did in like complete sentences, but only when necessary. Like he was happy to be.
He didn't have a second.
No. And he had to just witness like his wide eyes, just witness me flailing about in life.
And so it was actually like quite a beautiful and a beautiful time. And I'm going to walk forward differently with different eyes on my younger because I got to, it's very rare that I get, you know, we had years with Gus before him,
yes.
but I never had years and time with him before Gus. And so I got to experience that little motherfucker. And when I tell you, he had me, almost fell off the bed laughing.
Stitches.
So fucking funny.
Isn't that amazing?
Stitches.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that funny when your child is that funny? I laugh as hard as I would at an adult, sometimes harder.
Oh, definitely.
And I'm like, that is a lit. And I often, I'm like, say it again. Say it again.
I have to go over many. And if I can give you, and I'm so sorry to do this. It, you know what is sort of, this podcast is making, is reminding me of when I used to watch Regis and Kathy.
Great.
And every like Monday morning, Kathy would talk about like what her son Cody had done over the weekend, you know. And it was like, and Reed would always just have to like sort of listen. Cody was like a toddler at that point. But if I could just tell you a few of the things.
Yeah.
And then I'm done with
great,
COVID.
Great.
But Sam, Jess, so I was trying to explain to him like two nights ago about our tests and the antigen tests and how we needed to get a negative, even if it was like we've been in here for 5 days. We needed a negative to leave isolation. And he was like, he said something like, oh, but it is the negative from, or is the positive from today? Didn't we already take the test? And I was trying to get my words out and I sort of stumbled and I said, oh, well, actually, and he goes, Mom, this is what you just sounded like. Oh,
he burned you.
Jess.
That was a straight burn.
Burn.
Yeah.
Burn.
He burned
And then
you.
I said, I laughed hysterically and I said, come over to your father.
And
do the same exact
thing. Gotta do it. Because that was perfect.
Now, when I tell you, and this, I learned from him something performance-wise. Because sometimes as an actor, I'm like, you might, you know, I lose my sparkle pretty quick. And it's like, I hope those cameras were rolling because you'll
you
never
can't,
see
I can't
this.
Recreate it. Yes, I can't. That's right. And often they're just on the back of your head and that's it. That's gone.
And I'll do the scene when I go, when I'm on my car home.
Yeah.
You know, and that, and it'll really come alive then.
But. Yeah. But he was able to recreate it perfectly with perfect timing. Yeah. He could be the star. He could be the star in this family.
Oof. And I just couldn't believe it. And then last night, you know, I slept in bed with him every night.
I love
And last
that.
Night I said, Sam, you got to give me a little more room in this bed. You're like all up on my side. And he goes, okay, you rascal. And I just said, well, I'm gone again. So anyway.
Oh, I love that.
We had a special time.
Yeah.
I love it. So that's me, Jess, you know, always tough to send the text out and say I've got COVID again. It's not a, you know, I didn't think this would be me.
I know.
So anything. That's just a surprise, you know, we never know what's in store.
We don't. We really don't. But there's always a silver lining. You know,
always
never
a silver
forget
lining.
That the day before my double mastectomy, I went to Disneyland with matching outfits with my nanny, matching, you know, fanny packs and had the time of my goddamn life. You can choose however you're going to do life, okay?
Bingo.
So I'm going to tell you how I did my life. And this
Please.
Is, I'm going to tell it like this is a porn because this is girl porn and gay man porn.
Because I've been sort of sniffing around what your weekend was based on Instagram, Instagram.com, as Vera would say. So was it?
So I think it was Wednesday. This is a last minute trip. The best. Okay. On a Wednesday, one of our friends in the Marvel verse, I will not say who it is because people will be so jealous of this person that they will turn on them because they're living such a beautiful life. But that person says to me, hey,
Marvel-verse.
You know,
okay, we know someone in the Marvel verse.
No, it's our the deep dive Marvel verse.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Okay. In our Marvel verse, they have been in this orbit. They say to me, hey, you know, we have this house in Laguna Beach, and I wondered if you'd want to take it this weekend. No one's going to be there. And normally I would, A, feel like I can't take somebody's house. That's strange. That's so weird. Who does something like that?
I've done it.
And then I said, absolutely. I said, Dan, you want to go? Let's celebrate. Let's pick BB up. For her last day of school, because she has survived such a year. I said, let's pick her up with the bags packed. Let's hit the goddamn road. And we showed up at a cottage. Okay, now this cottage is 1,200 square feet. It is so beautiful. It looks out onto the ocean unobstructed.
Oh, my
It has
word.
Been decorated in maritime joy. There
that's,
are navies.
That's what you the, are. You it's, are maritime
it's
joy.
It's a masculine, so right. just the right of masculine touch, but it has navy cabinets. You hear me and you hear me now. When I get my cottage, and I will get my motherfucking cottage, there will be navy cabinets and gold fixtures. There was a mixture of mid-century, but also classic lines. There were weathered. There was a yellow and white gingham tablecloth. And a banquette, and everywhere you sat in this little living room, this jewel box of a living room, you saw the ocean.
Whoa. Beautiful.
You flung the double doors open, okay? And then in the back, there was a bunk room, you know, two single beds.
Oh, my God.
In maritime colors, forest green, all wainscoting, okay? All beams, okay? They fit 1,200 square feet. We had a bathroom that was could beat the band. Outdoor shower.
Wow.
Two other bedrooms. Two bathrooms and a half bath. Okay. A beautiful galley kitchen. A backyard that was terraced.
God.
So they had a French table that overlooked again the ocean. Okay. We then a stroll down to a beach.
Whose home is this?
I can't reveal this, obviously, but when I tell you every pillow, every candle, down to the little pegs and the Claire Vivier bag hanging, okay, for the market, okay. Oh, everything.
You got to go to market. You
okay.
The fresh
meticulously organized.
Out
oh,
based on what's fresh.
Oh, you need to do a load of laundry. Okay. Maybe you want to get a lavender scented Myers. Okay. Pod. Everything was aromatherapy. Okay. There Whoa. Are chargers at every bedside
Corner.
Table, parachute linens, crisp. Okay. You open the window and the ocean breezes come in while you're sleeping. I slept better than I ever have in years. In the morning when I woke at 6, I would bring my coffee out to the front deck, which is high up, so it looks out on the ocean, and I would journal just looking out at the horizon. Wow, the water is crystal clear blue. You might as well never go to Hawaii. It's an hour or 15 minutes away, my friend. There was a goddamn seal that came swimming by BB. Arf, arf. Couldn't have been more appreciative. And because it was last minute, there were no expectations. There were no plans. There was no research, although, of course, they had a little, you know, binder of
to help you
restaurants.
Out.
Okay.
Yeah. Order in. This is a nice walk if you're thinking of taking a walk. Here's a couple of like
a cove. You want a tide pool? Here's where we go. Oh, don't miss the paper bag beignets. Okay. At the Riverside Cafe. You know, oh, they have a s'mores. You can book a fire pit. Okay. Remember Laguna Beach, the show with Kristen Cavallari? Yes. Okay. That is it. That's the life. Okay. These people, I think they're all Republicans. I don't know.
Live there?
Well, that's the thing. These people are so happy, but I think they are all Republican, all the people living there. I'm not sure. The OC is a strange place, but you don't have to.
OC is entirely Republican.
But when you're visiting, but here's the thing that was amazing about
this. Could we change the demo?
I mean, possibly.
Listen.
I've never been so happy.
Wow, Jess.
BB and Dan were like, you're a different person. I was like, yes, this is me happy.
Yeah, get to know her.
Get to know her like this is me relaxed. I'm great on vacation. I'm one of the best people to go on vacation with because I
can never get you there.
Well, now I'm going. And this Thursday, I'm heading to Yosemite with my brother to go camping. Just the two of us.
Just the two of you?
Yes.
Oh my. Adult siblings, boy and girl on a camping trip
together. Never done it. Never done it.
I don't know what to make of this.
Never done it.
I don't know what to make.
My brother is a daredevil. You know, he surfs every morning. He climbs rock faces. He said, you know, I hope you have appropriate, you know, footwear. I don't. We are actually staying in an Airbnb because he said I couldn't handle it. That's right. We're getting back to basics.
Because I love this, Jess. Is this something that
first
you
time.
Both do?
No, it's the first time we've done it. And, you know, I've been wanting to do it and wanting to do it because my brother and I could not have been closer growing up. Like, he is the
don't
opposite
make me cry
of me.
Right now. Please don't make me cry.
Yeah.
I love this.
He used to pick out my jewelry, you know, before I went on dates. You know, he's a doctor. He's the most opposite to me possible. Quiet, you know, thoughtful, introspective. But we haven't been alone since, honestly, like a year after graduation. We went on like our last family trip as like a unit, and we haven't been alone. And we're just like, and I said, show me you. I want to go where he goes because he's constantly, you know, sleeping on boats and like going on these adventures where he could die. And I was like, show me. I've never been to Yosemite. So I'm flying up on Thursday to San Jose. He's picking me up. We're driving 3 hours to Yosemite. And he said a lot of things like, how often are you running? What's your endurance level? You know, and I lied and said, it's great. You know, so I don't know.
Well, I don't know if you'll come back.
I don't either.
But so, yeah, that's not my only concern. I am so thrilled about this trip.
Me too. And I love rolling one trip into the other. Like,
why not?
Why not? And the truth is, like, I do have to live a little safer than everyone, you know, because I just, from what Dan and I have been through, we are hesitant to get the old long COVID of it all. And so I do. But what I'm realizing is that doesn't, you can be creative about where you go and how you go. And yes, like a trip to my friend's beach house was so much more fun than a hotel ever would have been. Because we got like Vietnamese takeout, ate it outside. Okay, we never went into a restaurant. The nature is calling us, people. Now, I'm not going to. Now, Lennon's husband, God bless. Lennon's husband, Lennon had to go away for, she's directing somebody somewhere. Okay, directing.
Of course.
An HBO
Max hit show. Directing. My best friend is directing. Okay.
She should be though.
And I reached out to her husband, of course, and I said, listen, available to co-parent. Now he's looking into some RVs. I said, that might be too much for me, but I support this. I support us heading into nature, whatever that means to us.
And listen, where we live is a perfect, you know, we're in the, we can go this way, that way, north, south, east,
yes!
west. Like we can get it, you know, we can get it every which way. I'm really inspired. Now, it's so interesting, my relationship to camping, because
you did it. You were forced to do it.
You know what? I think that I'm wondering how many of us feel that we take on our mother's pain and our mother's wounds, right? So I know I've shared a bit before. I feel in my lifetime, I'm certainly working and healing, trying to heal some of what pained my mother.
Right.
Around the domestic realm, around a bunch of different realms. But one of the things that I know was painful for her was camping.
Yeah, she wanted to be in the hotel.
She wanted to be in a hotel. Yeah. And so I have a fraught relationship with it because I'm like, my mother, and I think rightly so, was resentful of the idea that this was a vacation.
It's not. To have to cook over an open flame, yeah. I mean, that is not a vacation.
I remember seeing my dad open up baked beans. You
gross.
Know, and bringing a pot out of that God. Was literally strapped to our rooftop. We were the Griswolds, you know, there were things we were constantly having to pull over and retie what was on the roof. And the way my dad packed it is he had a giant canoe. And so all of the supplies suitcases, so fucking nuts, all this shit was on inside the canoe.
Yeah,
and then the canoe held it. And then we had to tie, the canoe was tied. Now, because my father was in the Navy, he was very quite good at
he has survival skills. That's the other thing. He had knots. Them.
Sure, but still, when you're driving with a boat and all manner of there's badminton rackets sticking out and tiny little birdies and all manner of thing that we traveled around with. It was terrible. The number of times we had to pull over on the side of the road. And, you know, work on those knots.
No disrespect to Long Island.
Don't disrespect it.
Although Dan and I really got into it because he's like, oh, the OC is kind of like a New Jersey vibe. And I, some of it. And I said, well, no, it's really Long Island. And he goes, they're actually quite similar. And I said, please don't start with me. What do you know? What do you know from Long Island? What do you know from New Jersey? And he said, please don't make me bring up the New Jersey Transit. And I said, please don't speak that of which you don't know. But I was throwing Long Island under the bus. But anyway,
you know,
that's a
I'm
whole
the first
other
person
episode.
Too. So I don't have the pride that you have in Jersey. I know where I'm from and I see it, but I don't have the pride in it. I really don't.
Yeah. You're not the Garden State and you never will be. So, but anyway.
No, but I just want to remind you, I know you guys have Springsteen and that's great and bully for you. And he is truly an artist.
Yeah.
I do want to just remind you of Billy Joel.
Okay. Have you seen him lately? I mean, Springsteen continues to just put out hit, you know, show after show.
No, but here's the thing about Billy Joel. It's some of his best work is his earliest work. And to be quite honest, no, I haven't seen him lately. I haven't listened to any new music lately. But that's also because, he doesn't have to make any.
Okay.
I don't want to argue.
I don't want to do this
Monday
either.
Morning.
I want to have a nice day.
I really do.
But I would argue, is Billy Joel really singing about Long Island? I mean, he's singing about New York. He's singing.
Downeastern Alexa.
It's the saddest,
that is literally
the
about
most
the
depressing
Long Island
song.
Sound.
Yes, yes, but it's the most depressing song I've ever heard in my life.
Like the plight of like the fishermen.
Yeah,
the
and if anything,
sound.
He's talking about how fucking awful it is to live in Long Island. Bruce is talking about fucking getting it every which way under a boardwalk and having the time of your goddamn life. You know, so you're talking about, I don't want to have this conversation.
Okay.
I don't want to do this
Brendan
with you.
Brendan and Eddie had a pretty good time as well.
Yeah, but like.
Brendan and Eddie still going steady in the summer of 75.
Yeah, but they were spending like, most of their time going to the city. Let's be real. You know?
Okay, I mean, listen, anyway, I don't want to. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Like, we have Jones Beach. We have, like, Montauk. We have, like, the North Shore is beautiful. The South Shore is beautiful. Like,
but what do you have in between? It's so thin.
Okay. I actually really don't want to do that.
I don't either. It's just you, it's so thin towards the tip. It's a thin tip, you know, and what's in between. And I don't know.
I am. And my family.
Okay. And no disrespect to them.
There's a little bit. Now, listen, but what I resent is like, I know the limitations of Long Island. I'm not trying to make it something it's not. All I'm saying is like, we had Billy Joel. We had Debbie Gibson, Howard Stern. Amy Schumer went to my high school. So did Howard Stern, you know. And we had, you know, and I am
you're
from
enough.
There.
You're
okay?
enough.
And I'm enough. But yeah. I will say that what I appreciate about Long Islanders is like, we don't try to make it something it's not. Like, I feel like people from Jersey are like, there's a desperation. It's like,
That's an interesting way to put it. I
don't
see that.
There's a desperation. It's like, why are you trying that? Thou doth protest too much. It's like,
it's just,
I know I'm not Manhattan. I didn't grow up in New York City, 3 miles away from the border of Queens. But I'm not trying to make it. It is what it is.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, with people from New Jersey, it's like, what are you trying to get at? Like, it's Jersey. At the end of the day,
world.
It's Jersey.
Yeah.
The rest of the country calls it the armpit of America.
That's because I don't know.
I don't, but other people do.
Oh, you know what I was saying is, and this is no disrespect to the East Coast, but it's tough to get to the places of natural beauty from the tri-state area for camping. That's what I'll say. California, easier to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easier to go. Okay. So that's also part of it. You're going to these locations. Your mom was probably like, I don't need to see this. Like, I'm not like dying to see that. You know,
it's just the level of work I think she had to do, you know, as someone who is working all year long and putting in the hours. So I do feel like I have a sense of obligation to carry that torch.
I totally agree. And I will report back as to what it is like to go into the wilds with my brother. I am
so thrilled. You know, I will say one of my favorite movies was that Kenneth Lonergan film with, of course, I can't remember Mark Ruffalo.
And Laura Linney.
About two adult siblings.
God damn it. That movie was
so fucking good. I think it was
beautiful.
A play. It started off as a play. But it was a beautiful movie. And it's like, it's such a different... I feel like we read a lot. We have a cultural understanding of sisters and adult sisters, but an adult brother and an adult
and
sister.
And an older sister. You have to understand,
an
like,
older sister.
I actually.
That's probably something you and Casey really connect on.
We absolutely do. And
older
something
sisters.
That older sisters struggle with is that we take care of our younger brothers like we are moms. It doesn't matter how younger, he's only 3.5 years younger than me, but we are, hey, it's mom's birthday. Hey, let me make you a tuna sandwich. Like he came out to like do his, you know, residency interviews for med school and I was making him a tuna sandwich. Like,
that's so, cute,
so something Jess. That's actually hard for us is when they get a relationship. And get married because we almost don't know where we belong anymore. Because we're used to taking care of them. And quite frankly, telling them what to do.
Of course.
I used to, from the attic, I had an attic bedroom, of course, before my brother. He never complained. I used to call for him and say, here are 10 pencils. Go sharpen them for me. And he would like happily go down and sharpen them for me. Like, that's what I was used to. So yeah, like for us to find our way as adult friends is more of a challenge. And his wife, Grace, who's a big deep diver, she has been really instrumental in saying, I want you to spend time alone.
Because beautiful.
And this is why it took my dad to Mexico with Bibi. Like, and this is what going back to Sam, it's like we need to be one-on-one.
That's right.
That's before right. we can exist in a family structure, you must have that one-on-one time.
And listen, there is something that is so powerful about family dynamics.
Oh,
that, yes. You know, and I used to kind of fall into this pattern with my dad a lot of being like kind of pitted against him or yes. in a contentious sort of yes. like, because I knew as a toddler that I had such bad tantrums and that, you know, there were famous stories told of me screaming no at him for like 5 hours straight, yeah. you know? So I had this thing that I always stepped into with him. Not that that's not a part of me that could be very like bullish and stuff.
But yeah.
It's like the power of a dynamic is so fucking strong where it's almost like, and I would feel this sometimes around my dad and my sisters, like I'm play acting a dynamic
totally
that is expected of me that I'm actually not even sure is authentic.
Yes. Well, somebody was saying, and I don't know if I mentioned it on the last deep dive, that the sibling Probably. Relationship I definitely did is the hardest because we have known them the longest in our lives. And yet we have think about how much you've changed since you were 0 years old. And you have to meet your sibling for who they are now. And you might not even know who they are. Now, well, you and your sisters are different because you guys share everything.
Well, I will show you a picture. So my mom, as you know, my mom's 15-year anniversary of my mom's death was this past Friday.
15.
And 15 years. And my sisters were on a group text. You know, they tried this. They tried to send a photo of, like, we were all talking about, you know, my mom and dad. I don't know if you can see this. That's my sister, yes. Lauren, my sister, Deanna, when they were little girls, and my mom and my dad. And I wasn't born yet. And they tried to send this photo, like, oh, we're all sharing pictures of my mom. And I took one look at it, and I said, no.
Yeah, where the and fuck then, am I?
And then I drew this in. And deep divers will see, like, I drew a little, like, smiley face of myself. Because I'm just like, oh, fucking hell no. Like, this family that you're all,
didn't exist
before I came on the scene. So I will easily step into that person of, like, yeah. you know. And then,
see
of course,
me,
my sisters
hear
both
me,
wrote
feel
back,
me.
Like, of course. You had to do that, June. Couldn't give us one photo. And I'm like, no, bitch. No, bitches.
No.
You're not getting one photo.
But you know what I love? You know what I love about your sisters is you all speak in this insanely specific way, which I can't even credit to Long Island because no one knows where it comes from. But so many people are obsessed with it, including me. And I didn't realize you weren't the only one until I heard Deanna talk that way at your wedding, and then Lauren also talks that way. Did your mother bit, yeah. speak that way?
No.
So
I
God,
it honestly, it all does come from Deanna. But you
oh,
know,
so oh wow, it I didn't
really
know that.
It really,
but
does.
She's not the oldest.
Deanna is the oldest.
She is. I thought Lauren was the oldest, but this is you and Deanna and Lauren. Like you're not all the same. That's what's crazy. Is like
very different. Very different.
But you all embrace each other's differences and celebrate them in such a beautiful way. And I have to give credit to your parents for that.
Well, and that's what I was going to say about you and this trip, which is there. I can only imagine what your mom and dad must feel knowing that their children are investing this time with each other.
They're so happy. They're over the moon. I will say that
what an honor.
What was hard for me, honestly, is when we graduated. So I was always like, you know, straight A student, delivering everybody like whatever accolades that I thought everyone needed, getting an anxiety disorder because of it. And then when I became an actor, everybody was very upset. Everybody was very upset with that choice.
Oh,
and wow. I became quickly like the problem. Now, meanwhile, my brother growing up was like, I mean, that guy would not fill out a test. They would bring home tests. It would just be, you know, doodles all over it. Nothing answered. Like, he didn't care. He was so smart, but he just didn't understand that he had to do things. Maybe because I was doing so much of it. He didn't take on any of it. But Rye, do you have any homework? Nope. Like, so much homework. Okay. So he was the one everyone had to worry about. Yeah. And then I become an actor. Everyone's horrified. He becomes a doctor. Everyone's thrilled. And then that role reversal was so hard for me. And I really struggled. Okay. And I was jealous.
That's not a great position for oldest daughter to be in.
I struggled. Okay, because my career also wasn't going nowhere fast. And I was like, what the fuck? And so that was really hard on me. I don't know if my brother really cared or noticed, honestly. You know, so that has been really good for me to recognize, like, we can be celebrated and different. Because it's not just who you are to each other. It's who you are to your parents. There is an extra humongous element.
It is. It's our first sort of testing ground for jealousies and
comparisons,
boundary testing, like both kind of like edging in for love.
Right. And the thing was, is I competed not at all with my brother for so long until we were in our 20s because we were so different. My brother didn't give a shit about any of the things I cared about. He would take my secrets to the grave because when I tell you there wasn't a word coming out of my mouth that was the truth from like sophomore year on. I mean.
Me too. Our poor parents.
Yeah, I was too, a sociopath.
Yeah,
I would be like, okay, we're just going to watch a movie. Like, door click. I'm inviting 400 people to this house. Wow. And he'd be like, okay. Like, and there he would be like Gus, like flipping through a train magazine while like I would usher in the entire school to my house. Like he took all of it to the grave.
And I do think you were more of a sociopath than
I was.
Most. Like, to think of you, I mean, I'm still really like, I'm still a little bit scared of the person that you were on the bus while your best friend cried after you told her.
Yeah, I was like Dexter.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like Dexter.
It was
the amount of lying I did is crazy. No guilt.
No guilt. It's like you really did. You really were different.
No, and if the FBI had like approached my brother and said to him, like, we need to put a wire on you, like, I do believe he would have rather gone to prison. But I always, always, always loved him for that, you know, because certainly did I put him in harm's way? Absolutely.
1,000%, you know.
Was he left alone too young, you know, while I, you know, one night I slept on Rockaway Beach. What's the beach? Not Brighton Beach. What's the beach where they all had those little cabins and it was like looked out on Manhattan? It's like tiny and you have a wagon that you bring your stuff to. That I slept when I was 17, 16 on that beach. Drove across the Tappan Zee Bridge with a bunch of girls. Where was my brother? I'm sure I was supposed to be taking care of him. There he was.
God, I got to tell you. So my mom used to tell me a story. Now, she was the second oldest, and then she had three younger brothers. And one thing that was beautiful about our time with Sam this week was, you know, Gus wasn't with us on my mom's anniversary. And he's always been someone who's like, he will always ask me, like, tell me a story about Grandma Diane.
I love that.
But this time, you know, I had the time with Sam, and
he's old enough now that he was asking for stories. Oh. And so we were in bed and he said, can you tell me some Grandma Diane stories? And I said, absolutely. And I told some of the, you know, classics.
Yeah.
Just the, you know, when my mom was a school teacher and had to bring the balloons to someone's retirement party and she had two fistfuls of like giant things of balloons and didn't realize that the ceiling was stucco. And so all of the balloons, you know, pop, 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 pop as she's walking toward this party. So, you know, just some of the classics.
Yeah.
And then he wants more, he wants more, he wants more. And so now I got to FaceTime my sister and ask her, like, does she have any? She tells a few. And I'm like, he wants more, though. He's insatiable for Grandma Diane stories. And so then I told him, I said, you know, well, Grandma Diane was a teenage girl. She went to Coney Island and with her baby brother, my Uncle Gerard, who was, I don't know, four.
That's crazy. By herself? Four. Took him?
Well, she was a teenager, yeah. But she took him with her girlfriends.
Yep.
And yeah. She lost him, Jess.
Oh, God help us.
Okay.
God
beach.
Help us.
And the way my mother told that story, she talk about a storyteller, I would be rolling on the floor laughing. But she said that, you know, when she realized she didn't have her baby brother, she was like, well, I'm just not going home ever.
I'm gonna live as like Carney.
Like, I no longer, because what I'm not gonna do is tell my mother I don't have him.
That, oh, absolutely.
Okay, so 100%. That's, so if that's not an option, then I just never go home. Like, today's the day I walk out of the life I've
I think
known.
That was correct.
Absolutely. And I walk into a new life, but everything's gone. So, you know.
How did they find him?
He traipsed back. He went on a walk somewhere.
That's so terrifying.
And, like, that's, you know, God knows, you know. But I never had that older sibling responsibility for younger. And I will tell you, I'm going to share this with you. And I want you guys to listen if you can. But this is a TikTok. This is the TikTok person. And his name is Dr. Sheehan. And he talks almost exclusively about older daughters.
Oh,
oldest
wow.
daughters.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to play this for you, Jess.
I'm Dr. Michael Sheehan here from the Foundation for Healthy Self-Esteem. I want to ask you all a question out there. Who are the rocks of our society? People that are a rock. You know, you talk about somebody, you say, he's a rock or she's a rock. That means it's a solid person who's in charge and willing to step up and do the right thing. Well, I think the number one rocks in our society are oldest daughters. They're the ones that step up over and over again. And every time I tell somebody about the 3.2 million hits from the TikTok of oldest daughters, I will talk to an oldest daughter. I'll get a story. I just got one the other day about how when mom got ill, the oldest daughter stepped up and took over all mom's responsibilities in the family. It just happens so often when you talk to people a lot that oldest daughters are so important in our society.
So basically, Doctor, I'm going to play one more real quick.
Dr. Michael Sheehan here. One of the things you learn being a family therapist for half a century is the importance of oldest daughters. Oh, my God, oldest daughters rule the universe. They're the ones that take control of families. They're the ones that run things. They're the ones that jump into the middle of things. And every once in a while, you find out it might be a second daughter because the oldest daughter deferred. But that oldest daughter is the one that takes care of dad during a divorce, takes care of the family when mom is having problems or can't be there for the kids. Yeah, and they have a real need to be in charge and to be in control because they're oldest daughters and they're used to running things. When mom and dad need a support system, they rely on the oldest daughter first, not the oldest son.
So I've been following this guy.
Wow, I can't wait to follow him.
I
Holy
know,
shit.
But the fact that he says with so much confidence, like, basically our infrastructure and society would crumble
without
oldest daughters. And it really, like, and also this idea of, like, sometimes there's a deferment
from, you know, one oldest daughter to me. So, because sometimes I think I do take on the quality of oldest daughter, and that's like a whole other thing. But I really find it fascinating how important the role of oldest daughter is.
Yeah, and I think for oldest daughters too to know that sometimes the best thing you can do is to stop oldest daughtering your younger sibling and get to know them for the adult person that they are and, you know, step out of their own way. You know what I mean? And really, like, and that's what I've really been trying to do. And Ryan's wife, Grace, has really been moving towards me in that way too. And like, you know, because she understands too that I was there before anybody, you know?
Listen, it is so, I think more so for different genders as they age in siblings, there's something, about our adult siblings that it's almost embarrassing. It's almost an embarrassing relationship because you have to recognize how messy you are.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I think they're just like, don't fucking treat me like I'm like 10. Yes, you know what I mean?
You can't help it. They can't help it. You know what they saw. You don't get to be seen as the adult that you are. And,
right.
And sometimes it's like they don't get to be seen. And so it is a really like fascinating, it's a fascinating relationship. But I'm so inspired, Jess, that you are investing in this way and opening up like a new, you know, to go on a kind of journey, especially in nature with an adult sibling. Like, I'm inspired. I really am. Well, I think that's so cool.
I'm excited. He planned it, and which I thought was so lovely. And I can't wait to report to you. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for all these adventures we didn't get to take. And, you know, it's just going to be, it was such a lovely weekend.
Will you be in a tent?
No, thank God. He knows I can't handle that. So we're going to be in Airbnb. But he said this is a stepping stone. He texted me, get your hiking boots on, grab a stick of juicy fruit, because the taste is going to move you. And then sent me the Airbnb link. Now, it's real bare bones, okay? My brother doesn't like to spend that cold, hard Dr. Cash. So I don't expect many frills.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, let's prepare the weekend you had this past weekend. No.
It's a little bit different. And I do, and I tip my hat to my sister-in-law who is coming home from Singapore the day before because she had to go to take care of her family. And I'm like, Ryan, is this the best thing to do? Because I was ready to like bow out and say, please, like, I don't see how Grace is going to, on jet lag, take care of two boys. But he says it's, quote, totally fine. He's jazzed. So I don't know. Anyway, I tip my hat to her. I want to just make two announcements. Babe Lash, which was a recommendation of a deep diver for my eyelashes, which you then said might blind me, and you were, didn't want me recommending it before the proof was in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. My lashes have never been better. They don't have mascara on right now, but they have tripled in length. Babe Lash.
I mean, I do, like, I don't know if this could be, if we can call this a clinical study, because I'm like, well, I would like a couple of more cases to look at. And
great. Yeah. I don't need that again. Just like I don't need to be told New Jersey is a great state with lots to offer. Like, I'm sharing to, not to you, I'm bypassing you. I'm sharing to our deep divers, direct to consumer. Babe Lash is where it's at.
D to C. So this is, okay, so this is like, this is the serum that you just put on your lash?
Yeah, you just go like a, you know, it's like you dip it in, it looks like an eyeliner, and you just go one, you know, you do it once a day, and it, you got to be patient. But a deep diver sent me their close-up pictures, and they were like, this shit is the real deal. It's not very expensive. It fucking works, okay? And then I'm layering that with a Wanderlust mascara the Mile High Club because I can only use the stuff that easily comes off with water. Everything else irritates me and transfers, okay? So I just want to put that out there. Second thing, very important. Deep Diver reached out to me. She is a producer for Hulu. She said they are absolutely shooting in their real homes for the Kardashians. Maybe that was not the case. They are shooting now, currently, in their real homes.
I believe that. Okay. I believe that that is true of this Hulu
series. So I want to be very clear.
No, this okay? is an important. We do have to, sometimes we have to do corrections, redactions. This is incredibly important. Okay. So,
okay.
So I believe that that is true now of the Hulu series.
But it may not have been true before. Third thing I want to say, and I don't mean to leave this on a tearjerker moment, but somebody wrote the most beautiful thing. I don't know if you've seen it on your text, but a deep diver wrote, she was in the hospital room while her best friend was dying.
Oh, God.
And was about to die any minute. And she was sitting there with her. And you know what? I want to read it to you. So
yeah,
absolutely beautiful. Okay, so here's the message. Just a humble deep diver sharing a heavy moment. My best friend has been battling a rare form of cancer for years. Tonight in the hospital, she is starting her process to transcend. After listening to your experiences with loss, the largest comfort I have right now is that as I sleep in her hospital room awaiting her last breath, I know she is surrounded by her spirit team. I feel their presence in this room and feel more peace than I have for months. This is not an observation I would have made before. We had the chaplain come in for a prayer tonight, and I asked her to include in the prayer an invitation for Vanessa to please come to me whenever the time is right. I welcome her incredible spirit on my team. Thanks for the space to share.
Stunning. And I do think, you know, I found so much peace this weekend in storytelling and sharing my mom's stories. And with Sam, and I'm like, oh, maybe he'll share them with his children.
She's still alive. Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful, it was so beautiful to see him experience her, not ever having met her. And, you know, so it is really powerful. And I hope that, I don't know, for everyone who's grieving, that they continue to tell the stories of their loved ones.
And they can be as alive in your home.
Yeah.
As if they're there. Now, obviously, it doesn't ever takes the place of them physically being here. But for that friend to know that her best friend will always be with her, even as she passes. And again, it takes a couple of months sometimes, especially if they're in a lot of pain when they leave the world. They have to rest on the other side is what I've been told. So sometimes it can take a couple months before you hear from them again. They're resting. So you have to give their soul a break. But God, I know it. I know in my heart she'll see her again. And, you know, and so what a beautiful moment to imagine. And yeah, anyway, just needed to share that.
And it's beautiful. Yes. And I love that, Jess. And I love that this podcast, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's like sort of a Jersey and Long Island like face off podcast or something. Yeah, maybe I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's a collab. We don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know what it is. And maybe we'll never know. But something about it that I love is that I do think it's really given people a space to kind of share their grief and bring grief into the space and not be scared of it and just say, yeah, it's something can be painful, it can be beautiful, it can be hilarious, it can be all these different things, but it's very much so part of our experience. So that story makes me so happy because it is so, I don't think our culture really knows how to process it at all. And when we don't, and we don't acknowledge our own mortality and we don't acknowledge the grief we're in. Like, it really, I do believe it comes out in the fucking strangest of ways. So I love that. And I love you, Jess. I'm so excited for your trip.
Thank you. And I'm excited for your 90 days, your 90 day fiance. And you know what?
I am a 90 day fiance starting hopefully soon.
Yeah. Let's lengthen our lashes. Let's go on impromptu trips. Let's live our best lives. Yeah. Well, you said we were going to take a trip in August and I got you. Late August. Okay.
Okay. I got you. Don't worry. Speaking of August, actually, because this is where we're going to have to sort of plan around folks because How This Get Made is going on tour. Tickets are currently on sale. For more details and links to the tickets, head to hdtgm.com. Jess, I will be on tour from August 12th through the 19th in New Orleans, Dallas, Houston, Indianapolis, Detroit, Ohio, and Chicago.
That's Deep Divers. So much. So many cities in such a short amount of time.
I don't know what this time will be, but I am so, so excited. And to be able to do this again, or to be within my 90 days, you know, come. I hope you buy a ticket. I hope you, I can get to meet some of you all out there on the How This Get Made tour.
You're going
to
bring the looks. You're going to bring the laughs.
I'm hoping to debut potentially like a new hair dye, new hair length, maybe a wig. Like who fucking knows,
I want you in like a denim short. Like I just want you like putting those legs out on this. Who knows?
And that's going to be the fun of it. Jess, I love you so much.
I love you too.
Have a wonderful week. Okay, Deep Divers, we'll see you next week.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.